This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you think Alex is going to walk in again this year?
You got to ask him, you know. He's on the ball. He's in his court, you know. Obviously, you know, we've been working together, you know, to see what happens, you know. But obviously, it's a different offseason for Alex, you know. You guys know how I feel about him. Last year, he checked all the boxes that, you know, I knew he was going to check. And he checked all the some boxes that people didn't know that he was going to check. And, you know, I just let him work last year. And obviously I cannot talk about free agents, you know, very straightforward, black and white. But I love the player. We love the player. Let's see what happens.
That's how we started our morning, with Alex Bregman signing with the Cubs. And that was Alex Cora yesterday, not talking about free agents, but signing like he knew Bregman wasn't going to come back. And he ended up being right. I'm John Lyons alongside Justin Turpin, Tom Carroll. And guys, you know, I know it's Patriots playoff game day, but this news broke last night. And it was one of those things where, you know how you can be disappointed, but really not surprised? Yeah. Like, that was how I reacted. I was like, man, what a loss for the Red Sox to lose out on this guy. But I really wasn't that surprised that
deflating.
They lost that. Yeah.
That's what it is.
When I first saw it, I was like, unbelievable. And then I thought about it for a second. I was like, no, it's actually very much
incredibly believable
with this, with the way that they've gone with this ownership group. And it's just so frustrating when you go back and look at the beginning of last year, not even at this time because he wasn't signed quite yet, but going into spring training or a little bit into spring training, you had Alex Bregman and Rafael Devers. And now you're entering the season this year with neither of them. And you trade away Devers for 117 games of Bregman, and you know that was supposed to be the guy that you reallocate the money towards, and that's supposed to kind of soften that. Because I think the fan base is kind of torn on that. I think there are some people that, like, why would you trade Devers, especially for the return that you got? And then there's others that look at it and is like, you know what? I don't have a problem with the Devers trade if you reallocate the money elsewhere and kind of spend it elsewhere. Obviously, you know, wasn't a great teammate, didn't want to move around and all that. But, I mean, to go into this year with neither of them is just so unacceptable and so frustrating.
Yeah, it's malpractice. And I know that Sam Kennedy said yesterday that, well, you know, the offseason's not over yet. There's no deadlines on these things, yada, yada. And then Bregman signs with the Cubs however many hours later, which
yeah,
is
not even
funny.
12 hours later, I don't think.
Yeah, there might not be a deadline, but also if you don't do something quickly, he's going to leave. And like you said, now in hindsight, it feels like Cora might have already known. Like, you now know what ended up happening, and you can look back at that clip. It's on WEEI's Instagram page, and you can see sort of the body language on Cora. It's like, oh yeah, he knew he was out of here. And so Sam Kennedy saying that leaves the door open, at least in fans' minds, that, okay, well, Bo Bichette's still out there. Go get Bo Bichette, and now the offseason is saved. And I agree. Like, they, need to do that, but I don't think they're going to do that because Bo Bichette is going to cost $300 million, and this team does not want to pay guys at that level or give them that type of term. It's just not what they want to do.
I wish that news came out at Fenway Fest yesterday. Imagine them up on the stage.
I know, Ken and Curtis might have had to put like a cage around their broadcast booth, though. You know,
it would have been a riot in there. I wish it broke yesterday. The fact that, like, this is probably the best case scenario for the Red Sox, that it happens right after Fan Fest and the Patriots play a playoff game tonight. Yeah. Host a playoff game tonight.
The classic,
like,
news
this
dump.
This is the news dump on a Saturday night at, like, 10:30, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, they're probably pissed Jeff Passan dumped it when he did. They're like, oh, you couldn't have just waited another 24 hours?
Wait until halftime of the Patriots game. Like, this
was
the perfect scenario
for them. 8:10 p.m. Sunday night,
please.
Yeah.
This was, oh, man, they're just getting off. They're still going to hear it, especially, I think, opening day.
Of course.
If Bo Bichette's not out there, if you enter in the season this year, it's January 11th and they haven't signed a big league free agent. You're the Boston freaking Red Sox.
That's crazy.
How is that a thing? Like, that's just insane to me.
And I know Alex Speer wrote about this a few weeks ago, where he detailed that Breslow has been trading at a rate that's, like, insane compared to what Bloom did. Like, he's already surpassed the amount of trades that Heim Bloom did by, like, a modicum of almost, like, double in like, way less period of time. So, clearly there's an organizational philosophy around this is how we're going to team build. We're going to take on deals, you know, guys that already have a little bit of time left, and we're going to have some teams pick up parts of their deal, and, you know, that's what we're going to do, you know, known commodities, yada, yada. Let's see if it actually turns into consistent winning here. Obviously, Breslow, in 2 years at the helm, they were on the precipice of making the postseason and then did make the postseason. Now, let's see in year three if they can take it another step forward here and actually advance in the postseason. But as you sit here today, you can't look at that Red Sox roster and say it's as good or better than last year. So with the rest of your division getting better, it just feels like you're behind the eight ball here from where you should have been and the momentum you should have capitalized on from last season.
Let's go to the phones. We've had a couple people waiting a while. Let's start with Rick in Portsmouth. Wants to talk some Red Sox. Rick, welcome in.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call, fellas. Yeah, you know, it is really depressing that Bregman just didn't sign with the Red Sox. Even though I didn't think Bregman was really the answer, he was out a lot. He didn't bring it in the playoffs, but, you know, he was a good guy when he was out there. He was good in the dugout. And he was a piece of the puzzle. And for them not to bring him back is ridiculous. So that's my thought on that. No, you know, the Red Sox are so friggin' frustrating. I don't know where to begin. They need a home run hitter. They need Bregman as a piece of the puzzle. They need some pitching. I just hope they do something. It's friggin' the middle of January. So that's my thought on the Red Sox. In terms of the Celtics, I really like Jaylen Brown. I love his attitude. You know, he was totally pissed off that he wasn't the January player of the month or something. And, like, you know, who cares? But the fact that is that is him, you know, and he has that edge. That's what makes this team tick, and I can't wait for Tatum to get back. And, you know, and I'm just really excited about the Celtics right now. And, of course, I'm excited about the Patriots. But the Patriots could crap their pants. You know, this Drake May's young. He's still.
All right, Rick, appreciate the call. I can give you two teams on a call.
He's absolutely right about the Jaylen Brown thing. He totally should have won.
Wait, I wanted to hear what Rick had to say on the Bruins.
I know. I can give you two teams because we got people. Wait, let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Ralph, welcome in. You want to talk some Bregman? What do you got? Hey,
thank you. Well, look, you know, this team needed an A1 or A2 pitcher. They didn't get it. You needed that big power bat. You didn't get it. I mean, if they had signed a power bat, now Bregman, yes. Bregman is a compliment. He's a great compliment. He's a good all-around player. Bregman does not win you games. Now, if you look at what he's making the same as Vladimir Guerrero. Who would you rather have? I mean, and they could have got Guerrero at the 24. I was screaming it. You got the pieces. Toronto doesn't know what they want to do. Go get this big poppy, but a better defensive player for 10 years. And they didn't do it. That's the real mistake that they made. He was there. Toronto had called them on him. But this Bregman thing, I would not pay Bregman at his age, 35. Real good player. I'm not denigrating him. This is not a Hall of Fame talent. He's made two All-Star teams, and he has one Gold Glove. That is not a Hall of Fame player. So I like him a lot. Don't get me wrong. And they're going to sign Bichette. I wish there was a line in Vegas. They're going to sign Bichette. I think that's what they decided to do because he's the cheapest free agent. You're talking about an organization that four championships since they bought this team. It's like a guy going out to dinner after he's already been to a Hong Kong buffet or something for 2 hours. They're full. They don't care about winning nearly as much as it's a business. And Kennedy is nothing but a guy they just throw at you. He's a scapegoat. You know, I don't think he knows a lot about baseball. He's just kind of calming us. But this is the Red Sox. I don't think they'll ever get back to spending the money that they ever did before. They're going sideways. That's what they've done so far. Guys, I'm not good. I just don't think that Bregman alone would have done it. So why pay him all that money for 5 years? You know, thanks for the call.
Ralph, thank you. I've heard a few people say that, and look, I understand that 5 years from now, the Cubs might be like, oh, wow, we're paying Bregman a lot. But first, there's $70 million in deferrals in that deal. And if you're the Red Sox, these are the types of deals you should be able to absorb the last year or two that's an overpay to help you win a World Series in the meantime. And you can't do it with everybody. But like in 2007, Manny Ramirez hit 20 home runs, and he was one of the highest paid players on the team. At that point, it was probably a bit of an overpay. But without him, you don't win in 04. And he still hit the big walk-off against the Angels in 07 in the ALDS. Like, so sometimes you have to do that with guys at the, and that's just one example, but sometimes you have to do that with guys at the, like Dustin Pedroia's contract at the end didn't look great, but that guy helped you win multiple championships. Like, sometimes you have to do that with guys. And I think if you're the Red Sox, again, I don't expect them to do that with every position, but for a player like Bregman, I think it would be worth it.
People might have got a little too over their skis thinking about, like, Joe Ryan and, you know, getting all these guys, Joe Ryan, Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman. But if you look at just the Pete Alonso contracts and the Alex Bregman contract, look at both of those. They could have paid both of those. In fact, those are deals that the Red Sox have made in the past.
I know, Turk. Trust me. Yes. And just like they could have paid Betts and Bogarts or Schwarber endeavors or whatever. Like,
that's another one, Schwarber, yeah.
We know that. But unfortunately, Tom, it's just that's not the way they operate anymore.
Yeah, and to what you were saying, like, you know, the beginnings of deals look one way, and then at the end of the deal, it looks another way. That's the price of doing business in baseball.
Like, there's a chance the Dodgers Shohei Ohtani deal in the last couple of years isn't going to look good.
Of course.
And all that. But you know what? They've already won two World Series. Yeah.
The way, like, baseball is set up is so there's no salary cap, right? So you have to operate within those confines. That means that there's going to be teams willing to pay X, Y, and Z for guys. And if you're not willing to meet that number, you're going to get left in the dust. So there's going to be contracts that you sign that you're not going to feel great about 3 years from now. But that's just how the sport works.
And we're
it's
not
how
saying
it's worked for years. And it's and you operated within that system for almost 20 years and won four World Series doing it. And then something's flipped. And now they just don't do it. They haven't done it in 5 years.
Yeah, and sorry to step on you there, but we're not saying they have to do it with every guy.
Yep.
But, like, this is a guy that's won multiple World Series, was good for you last year, and in the playoffs, by the way, three hits and three walks in those three games, including two hits in the only game you won in game one. And you look at this infield, like, I like Contreras at first, not a long-term solution, though. Story was good last year at short, but he did fade in the field at the end of the year, and it's the first time he played over 140 games since 2021. Can you depend on that again? Marcelo Meyer, I like a lot, but still looks like he has some work to do at the plate, and he's gotten hurt in every August, it feels like, in his pro career. So what are you really going to do? Like, you're in field next year. You have Contreras. You have Story.
Hopefully
you assume
Bichette.
You assume Meyer at one position, and then, so yeah, is it Bichette? But, like,
it's not Bichette.
It doesn't.
Bichette. Sorry, I know someone with the last name Bichette. Bichette.
We said this earlier. Scale of 1 to 10. Confidence level, they signed Bo Bichette.
1.
3.
3 for me. So we combine at a 7. Like, we combine at a 7. And I think that speaks to, too, like, you mentioned the Alonso deal, Terp. The Blue Jays go to the game 7 of the World Series, and maybe they will lose Bichette, but they add Cease and Okamoto. In the aggregate, they're better. The Orioles, I know they had a disappointing year last year, but I expect Adley Rutschman to be better. They go out and they add a potential frontline starting pitcher via trade, and they sign Pete Alonso. The Yankees, they haven't really done that much, but they're going to get Gerrit Cole back at some point this year, which Cy Young caliber pitcher. So everybody in your division, at least the three teams you're really competing with, they're all getting better. You're a little, I mean, again, I like Contreras. I like Sonny Gray. You're probably still a little worse than you were last year.
And to your point on the Blue Jays, like, that is a perfect microcosm of what the Red Sox should aspire to act
what they
like
used to be.
Yeah. Like, you lose in game 7 of the World Series, one of the greatest baseball games any of us have ever watched. And they sit back and they go, okay, we got to get better. We got to improve this team. We made it that far, and yet we still need to keep adding to get better and add payroll and do what it takes to win, because the Dodgers are that good. So if that's the threshold, we now need to go and break through that to actually have a chance. And that's what they're doing. It's been incredibly impressive to watch them operate this offseason. And it should be, eye-opening to Red Sox fans, and it's more of a reminder because I think we all know at this point, they're just not on the same level as these teams that really want to compete right now when it comes to spending.
And John, to your previous point about them being a little bit worse, like, look, I like the Contreras move. Obviously, you know, Abraham Toro started 77 games to get first base last year, and he was good for the month of June. I'll give him credit. He helped keep them afloat there, but you feel better about that. Sonny Gray, I like that as well. High strikeout guy. Should be able to produce kind of similar to what Lucas Giolito gave to you last year. But looking at the roster of where it was going into the season last year, you are worse. You had Bregman and Devers, and neither of them are here this year. You are worse. Like, you can't look at the two rosters on paper, put them side by side, and tell me this team is better than it was last year. And that's a disappointment.
Another piece is, like, I expect Roman Anthony, like, he can stay healthy. He'll get even better. But, like, Aroldis Chapman was the best closer in baseball last year. It's unfair to think he's going to be that good again. Like, he'll still be good. Is he going to be that good again? Is your bullpen some of those guys? Are they going to be that good? So that could and even Brian Bello, June, July, and August last year, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Is he going to do something close to that? Or is he going to be the guy that fell off in September and got pulled early in a playoff start?
28 pitches.
Exactly.
And this isn't to take away from their success, but you mentioned Chapman. Like, they took a flyer on him. He ended up being one of the best closers in baseball. Bello took a step, but, like, what they got from Roman Anthony last year, they couldn't have possibly expected that. Same thing with Trevor Story. He was benchable in May. He was terrible. And then he really turned up, ended up having a great season. But, like, if not for his contract, he might have been gone in May. That's how bad he was. And that's not even, like, hyperbolic to say. He was that bad. Carlos Narvaez, if he didn't get the season that he had, they would have been screwed because they had nothing at catcher.
Should have been an all-star.
Yeah, he should have been an all-star. Yeah. They could not have predicted. That was the wildest dreams that happened. Like, they kind of got lucky. They fell backwards into some of these guys from, like, their spending standpoint, and it'd be unfair to expect them to repeat what they did last year. I mean, Trevor Story's a good player, but again, he's not really on the field, and he was last year. That's important. Marcelo Meyer, another one. Like, how many games is he going to play? So it's just they've completely mismanaged this entire offseason. Like, you could say they haven't really whiffed because, you know, Schwarber was probably not very likely that he was coming here. Same thing with Joe Ryan hasn't moved. I know that's another name that people go back to, but, like, Pete Alonso, that's one that you probably should have had and a deal that you could have made, but he goes in the division. Alex Bregman, there's no excuse for letting him leave, and you lose a comp pick in that. That's just bad business.
Yeah, and it just feels like we're watching them miss an opportunity to elevate themselves in real time, which is pretty frustrating to see. But there is, guys, and we talked about Bregman, and we can still, if you want to call in, text in 617-779-7937, we'll keep talking about him. But there is a playoff football game tonight at Gillette Stadium. We previewed the game earlier in the show. We're going to get back to it coming up next, talk about the Patriots season, our thoughts on tonight's game, what the keys to the game are. Also talk a little bit about some of the great games that were in the NFL yesterday. But before we do any of that, it's time to trend with Tom Carroll.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Playoff football returns to Gillette Stadium tonight at 8 o'clock as the 2-seed Patriots host the 7-seed Chargers on NBC. The Patriots are currently a 3.5-point favorite sitting on the money line at minus 200. Tune in before kickoff to WEEI Football Sunday with Arcan, Scheim, and Mego starting at 4:30. We've been talking about it all morning. Alex Bregman is reportedly signing with the Chicago Cubs, 5 years, $175 million per ESPN's Jeff Passan. NFL scoreboard from Saturday, Rams escaped an upset down in Carolina, beating the Panthers 34-31. Packers blew a 21-3 halftime lead. Bears pull off the comeback win, 31-27. Three games on the NFL slate today. Bills at Jaguars kickoff at 1 p.m. Westwood One's coverage for that one gets underway right here on WEEI starting at 12:30. The 49ers are on the road in Philly. That one kicks off on Fox starting at 4:30. A busy day at TD Garden on Saturday. Bruins beat down the Rangers 10-2. Khusnadinov had 4 goals. Zaka had 3, giving the Bruins their first double hat trick since 1964. David Pastrnak had 6 assists. Celtics able to hold off Wembanyama in the Spurs. San Antonio beat down Boston 100-95. Bees back in action today at the Garden today at 5 o'clock against the Penguins. C's back in action tomorrow night in Indiana. Tip-off set for 7:30. And speaking of the Bruins, they announced this morning that they've signed defenseman Jonathan Aspero to a 2-year extension worth $1.77 million. That's an average annual value of just over $887,000. I'm Tom Carroll, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, with Justin Turpin and Tom Carroll alongside me. For those that don't know, I'm not calling it Tom Carroll's flu game, but he is fighting through some headphone issues over there. You know, I'm not quite calling it his Jordan flu game, but he's battling some headphone
head
issues.
Head cold game?
Yeah. So I'm giving him credit. You know, some headphone issues. So
it's not easy to battle through those.
Listen, man, if you're watching on Twitch, which I don't know why you'd want to see our ugly mugs or YouTube,
especially
or whatever.
On a Sunday morning.
Yeah, tough.
I haven't shaved in like 4 days.
I was at the Garden for 14 and a half hours yesterday. Like, you don't want to see my face right now.
And it
now.
Was really that final half hour that put you over right. The edge. You know, 14 hours is fine, but that half.
It's that half.
It was
that
waiting in the hallway
really
for
pushed it over.
Victor Wembanyama that pushed him over.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That took so long.
Terp, you could stand on Tom's shoulders. I don't know if you guys would be as tall as
I think he was sitting in the chair last night and was almost tall. Taller than half the people.
It's crazy, man.
It's wild.
It is jarring, like, to see in person.
They call him the alien, but like watching that, he honestly, like, I look at him playing, I'm like, wow, that dude could be the MVP, even though he comes off the bench right now in a minute's restraint.
Yeah.
Like, that game was totally different when he was on the floor. The way the Celtics played offensively and defensively, even the way the Spurs were, like, it was really impressive to watch, honestly.
And I know we want to get to the Patriots, but a real quick thought on that, and I give the Celtics credit to this. To an extent, I think it ended up being a detriment. But to me, the Celtics were too unafraid of him. Like, offensively, they were going right at him. Like, they were not scared. And they were just trying to press, like, go against him, try to score on him. And it was like, all right, fellas, like, this is a potential, should be the defensive player of the year if he reaches the qualifying 65-game threshold. But, like, they were too unafraid of him last night, which kind of stood out to me.
And they handled him for 2.5 quarters,
yeah, they did.
Too, on the offensive
which
end.
Which Shireman and Walsh, they kind of pieced it together. It
yeah,
worked.
The Shireman thing.
He was great last night.
And that speaks to what we talked about earlier, is, like, when you have Baylor Shireman being the guy that has to deal with Wembanyama on switches, like,
not ideal.
Eventually that's going to bite you.
Last Celtics thought, I promise. But Baylor Shireman, I think he deserved a night like that because he's had a very quietly had a good year. I know you're looking at his minutes and he's probably right around like 11 or 12 minutes, but he picks pockets of the game and he has a very profound impact. Like, if you look at his defensive, the advanced metrics on his defensive numbers, like his defended field goal percentage, opponents are shooting like 10% below their expected output against him. Like, it's not going to stop in the stat sheet. His numbers will look low, but his night in and night out, he has had a pretty profound impact.
And I feel like for the Celtics with the aprons and all that, we can get, I mean, that's a whole show in itself.
Yeah.
But if they're going to be a true contender, they're going to need one of those guys, whether it's Shireman, Walsh, Minot, one of those guys is going to have to elevate and be a legitimately good player.
And to that point, going into this year, you were hoping that one or two of them developed into that. The fact that you're talking about everyone right
and
now.
And we don't, like, I don't, like, want to go too far. Like, there's still, like, role rotation.
Right.
I think one of them is going to have to elevate to be, like, a real, not like a core piece, but, like, one of those real supporting cast pieces.
I think it's Cade or Walsh. I think those
and
are
I think
two.
Walsh is the one that
night
stands
in
out.
And night out, Cade has just given them some remarkable consistency.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't get enough credit for his screening or his rebounding because it's boring stuff.
And how
it's
much
like offensive line play.
He's got, like, if you watch him the first 2 weeks of the year to now, he's so much better.
Look at last year, man. I was like, they're going to go into with this guy as your starting center?
Even the first 2 weeks of the year, I was like, ugh.
There were flashes in the past. Like, I think back to the Pacers game last year. Like, the first loss of the season, they were down like 20-something in the second half. They put in Kata, and he sparks this big run. So, like, he had won them games or made games, like, put them into games in the past. But I couldn't have expected this. Just night in and night out, the consistency he's given them. And again, nobody talks about screening. It's like offensive line playing football, but every good possession starts with a good screen in the half court, and that's what Nabeesh Kata gives them.
We are going to get back to Patriots. Before we do that, though, I do want to coach in New Hampshire's been hanging on for a little while. So, Coach, welcome into the show. What do you got for us?
Great. Guys, before you get into full-time Patriot talk, just a spoonful of Red Sox optimism. Call me crazy. Here we go. Five guys hit 20 home runs next year. Your outfield, which is Anthony, Rafael Abreu, your shortstop Story, your first baseman, Contreras. My big move, not as a spirit-shaking, I do not let Duran play the outfield. I don't even let him lead off. I put him deep in the order and let him try to return offensively to his form of 2024. Lastly, the big hole seems to be second base. I guess we go into the year with Romy Gonzalez hitting and also David Hamilton, who gives us some defense. I know it's not sexy. The last thing I want to say is please, please make Connerly early one of your starting pitchers. I think he's got electric stuff. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
I agree with the Connerly early
spoonful
part
of Red Sox optimism.
He's good. Yeah. And yeah, he was good in the postseason, too. Like, that was not on him. The defense did him no help. And it was a fatal flaw all year that they kind of breezed by because the offense was good. It didn't really pop up a ton, but they were a very bad defensive team last year. And they have been the last couple of years.
All right, let's get back to Patriots, guys. Probably going to be the rest of the show. But if you want to call in or text in with any Red Sox, Celtics, or even, hey, the Bruins had two guys with hat tricks yesterday.
10 goals.
6-1-7.
That game was insane.
7-7-9-7-9-3-7. It really was. First time since 1964 they've had two guys with hat tricks.
So what do they do if two guys score hat tricks? Because most of the hats are already on the ice. So like the people that
all
kept their hats
have to go. Stingy people that didn't throw hats the first time.
So I will say I was very disappointed in the hat throws on the first and second.
Yeah,
I was sitting up there in the press box waiting for an awesome video.
No. I like my hats.
Yeah, I'm not throwing my hat.
Okay, but then the Bruins, they give a promotion after the hat trick. 30% off all hats at the promotion.
Now, they do 30% off a $50 hat.
Or did they do 60% off because two guys had hat tricks?
That's true.
Yo, I would demand
one,
that.
A BOGO. Buy one, get one.
Yeah, that, you know what?
That's what it should be.
I should have done that.
No, if you're at a hockey game and you're close enough to throw your hat in the ice after a hat trick and you don't,
oh,
shame
I'm not
on
throwing
you.
The hat. I'm keeping it.
I don't know. No, maybe I'll bring
throw
a spare hat.
For a 30% discount? No, I'll keep it. The pro shop's like overpriced anyway.
A hat that you don't really like that much if you are sitting close enough to the ice to be there for a hat trick.
No, I'm just going to hold
that's,
on to
that. That's how
I bring
operate.
A spare hat. Bring a hat.
Yeah. Or just don't throw the hat.
Just don't throw
bring it. Your lawn hat.
So Patriots 14-3 heading into the game tonight against the Chargers. We're going to get deeper into previewing the game in a little bit, but I think it's worth mentioning that again, this team 4-13 last year. Now they're the 2 seed hosting a home playoff game. They've checked off already the boxes that Mike Vrabel talked about at his introductory press conference, that take advantage of bad football, win the AFC East, have home playoff games. Like, they've already checked those boxes off. And my question to you guys is, from where they were this time a year ago in the process of hiring Mike Vrabel, I mean, is any of this right now, because I know people talk about house money and what, how much of this do we look at and say, hey, they had a tough, like an easy schedule and it broke right? Or, hey, they're a tough team. They're a good team. This is who they are and this is who they're going to be.
I think both things can be true. I mean, the schedule talk's real. I know people are over it. They're tired of it. I'm tired of it too, frankly, but it's something that surrounds this team because it's a real thing. But I think both things can be true. You can build the identity that you sought out to build, Mike Vrabel wanted to build, and you did that by winning 14 games, winning the AFC East, and this was supposed to be Josh Allen's division for years to come. And you win it in the first year, the pairing between May and Vrabel, yeah, that lays the success for the foundation for the future. And I think that's important. So both things can be true. And, I mean, just what they've done this season, I just don't think you can take away from no matter what.
And I think it's completely reset the expectations. I think a lot of people going into this postseason are already trying to kind of guard themselves against future disappointment, right? Like, oh, well, you know, look what they did. Look who they were last year with Mayo and look where they are now. It's 14 wins. It's Vrabel. It's May. We're building. Regardless of what happens, this is gravy. It's not gravy anymore. Now it's a required meal that you go deep in this postseason. You need to take advantage of this window. It's not often that you can win 14 games in a season. It's not often that the AFC is going to be as wide open as it is. Dan Marino made it to the Super Bowl in his second season. Back then, I wasn't alive, but all the old timers tell me, oh, he'll get back. We all saw Marino as a young guy and saw how good he was. It never happened for him. You can't just assume because your quarterback is 23 years old and he's awesome, that you're going to be in the mix every year. That's not how the NFL works. Every year, four teams that make the playoffs don't make it the next year. And four teams that didn't make the playoffs replace those teams. You could be that team next year. So this is the time to go out and take advantage. You can beat the Chargers. You are a better team than them. They have injuries. They have flaws. They play zone defense. You should be able to dice them up with the basically MVP of the league. Go out and take advantage tonight. Go into the second round and play a team like the Jaguars, who are improved, but, you know, they're the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence ultimately, or the Bills, who you've already beaten this year, and get to the AFC Championship game. At least give yourself that. Give yourself a shot at the Super Bowl, because the road is there for you to do it.
And I think it's interesting because they are so far ahead of schedule, I think, where we thought they'd be. Like, most of us thought, hey, can they win 8 or 9 games in Vrabel's first year? And that would, 8 wins would have doubled their win total from a year ago. They more than tripled it. And I think what Tom's talking about, like, we are seeing that play out in real time right now with Joe Burrow, who in his second year got to the Super Bowl, nearly won it. People thought, oh, they're set up well. And now, you know, they're missing the playoffs. Their coach is on the hot seat. He's saying cryptically in press conferences how he might not be as happy there as he used to be. So
I can't blame him.
Yeah, I can't either. But there's something to be said of you need to take advantage of the opportunity, but I don't want the expectations to get out of whack where you are so far ahead of schedule. If, you know, you don't make it to the Super Bowl, you don't make it to the AFC Championship game, it's not a failure.
No, like, that doesn't mean that tear it down. Important.
Right. Like, it's not like, for example, if the Bills lose today, you can probably look at them and say, man, their season was kind of a failure.
That's a total failure.
You know, and
absolutely.
I know they're not as good as they were in years past, but still, it's Josh Allen, it's the Bills. You're used to going to, like, if they lose, you can say, oh, that's kind of, if the Rams had lost yesterday to Carolina,
failure.
I would have looked at that as a failure.
Yes.
Because that's a veteran team that, yeah, they have some young guys, but a lot of vets. They've won a Super Bowl before with that quarterback and head coach. Their expectations are a little different. Whereas if the Patriots, if they don't get to the AFC Championship game, I'm still going to look at this season and say, man, they had a great season. They're set up going forward. But I think, will my tone change if they lay an egg tonight? Yeah, a little bit. But otherwise, I won't sit here and look at it the way I would if the Bills lost, the Rams lost, team like that.
Maybe disappointment isn't the right word. Maybe it's missed opportunity.
I think it is. No, I think disappointment is the right
word. Yeah, because there's a difference between disappointment and failure.
The distinction between disappointment and failure is the important context. But I think disappointment would be the right word because you talked about it. The path is right there. You won 14 games. You don't know when you're going to have this opportunity again. The AFC is wide open. So, yeah, the disappointment is real, but the failure part doesn't apply. I think when you, in your first year with this pairing between Vrabel and May, to win 14 games, to win the division, to host a playoff game, especially if you win a playoff game, that's not a failure. But disappointment? Absolutely. So, yeah, I think that is the right word, but that distinction is important.
And you look at where they've come from, right? Whereas they win 4 games in back-to-back years. This is their third head coach in 3 years. Let's not forget.
2.5 games last year.
Yeah,
2. I like that. I was going by 3. I like the 2.5.
Honestly, it really was 2.5 wins last year. The Bills tanked the last game of the year, and the Bears fired their OC the week after the game you had and fired their head coach a few weeks later.
I forgot all about the Bears part. Yeah, they fired the OC and stuff. I know they're a bad team, but like I was always discounted that Bills game. Like they won 3 last year. I didn't count that. But yeah, you make a good point with the Bears. Like that was another
one. The disrespect to Joe Milton. Come on.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Definitely.
Can we just revisit that?
That was so annoying.
It was so annoying. They're like, is Joe Milton the starter moving forward?
They picked Brady in the 6th round. They picked Milton in the 6th. I took calls.
He throws the ball far and he does backflips.
Yeah. Well, the guy who couldn't put touch on the ball.
Yeah. And again, hindsight's 20/20 here, and I know we give Kraft a ton of credit for axing Mayo when he did after 1 year. They really should have fired him after that Chargers game. Because
that was bad.
I mean, it was 40-7. It felt like a Chargers home
Drake
game.
Got
but remember,
three
too,
plays
that
in.
Was that was also the game where Mayo said before the game Stevenson was going to not start. And then he started him.
Yes. So he had no grasp of the situation. He looked like the Walking Dead at that point. And you go into that final week of the year with the chance at the number one pick. Every organization in the league should set themselves up to actually get that number one pick. And they maybe they still end up taking Will Campbell there regardless because they needed that left tackle. But
they would have been able to trade down, get some assets, and still take Campbell.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I don't blame the players and the individual coaches for playing hard and not tanking that game because that's not what they would do.
Especially a guy like Joe Milton.
But I think you fire Mayo and then you put someone in place and say to them, hey, look, let everyone play hard, but let's make no mistake about it. we would like the number one pick
or
in
you
the
do
draft.
What Miami did last week, and you sit Achan, you sit Waddle, and you sit all those
and
guys.
I know that's in no football player or coach's nature to tank a game purposely, but I don't know, you own the team and you want the team to be as good as it can be moving forward. Again, hindsight's 20/20.
But this is the conversation, Tom, we were having a year ago.
Right, exactly.
And now we're talking about a home playoff
game. Thank you
game.
For moving it forward.
No, but
I was just in a death spiral.
No, but I think like that's, you look at the conversation we were having a year ago to what we're having now, I think it goes wildly beyond what anyone would have expected. And then I think it brings the next question, which we're going to get into coming up next. What is our feeling after tonight's game, win or lose? Like, are we really going to be that upset and think that this is a huge blown opportunity if they lose? Or are we going to be looking forward? And I think there are some external factors that depend on that. We're going to get into all that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We're a little over 8 hours away from Patriots versus Chargers. First home playoff game for the Patriots since before COVID, January of 2020.
Just a hair before.
Just a little bit. And it might be their first home playoff win since they beat the Chargers in January of 2019 on their way to winning Super Bowl 53. So it's been a little while, folks. Not as much if I would say a Jets or a Browns fan.
I've like completely memory holed that Chargers playoff game.
Yeah, they were up so like 35-7, I think, at halftime. Chargers fumbled a punt in that game. Sony Michel ran all over him.
Sony Michel.
Big dog.
Forgot about that guy. Yeah.
Sony Michel
was postseason hero.
Yeah. What do you have? Two touchdowns against the Chargers, another one against the Chiefs, and another
they
one against the Rams.
Incredible run that postseason.
Yeah.
That alone was worth the pick.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, earlier this
year.
You
won a Super Bowl out of it.
Yeah, but you probably wish you had Nick Chubb for those 5 years instead of Michelle.
They should have picked Nick Chubb and Lamar Jackson. Instead, we got Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. So, you know.
Super Bowl Lamar Jackson was the pick after Sony Michel, which kind of makes it sting a little tiny.
Josh McDaniels loved Lamar Jackson, too. It's all a little fun facts you find out later. You know, just like, you know, you pick N'Keal Harry instead of A.J. Brown.
Yeah, that one was
whatever.
Bad. That one was real bad.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Ravens call McDaniels.
So, it's funny. Would if I were them, but I don't know if he wants to. He would consider it, I think, but I don't know if he wants to leave this soon. They should call our old friend Bill down.
I don't think he gets another look at the head coach.
You're talking Bill or Josh?
Josh McDaniel. Yeah. Either, but like with Josh, so.
If May wins an MVP or if he's this good next year, then maybe Josh. I think it's going to take multiple years.
There are just so many red flags. Just look at his coaching career, right? So he goes to Denver in 2009. They go 8-8. The next year, he's fired after week 13. They go 3-9. So he's a year and a half.
And he forced the Broncos to pick Tebow in the first round.
Right. And then you go to the Raiders. He goes to the Raiders in 2022. They go 6-11. The next year, he's fired after week 8. They're 3-5. To be fired before you finish your second season in two locations, that's a red flag.
And I think that's the thing. They've twice in season second year.
That has flamed out that bad and that quickly, I can't imagine he gets another look. Like, and it could be true that you can be a great offensive coordinator.
Steve Spagnuolo with the Chiefs, another example. Didn't go well for him as a head coach. He's
been
the best defensive coordinator in the league for 20 years.
I think McDaniels is one of the best offensive coordinators in football.
Yeah.
As a head coach, not much.
Yeah.
So, like, you can be a good coordinator and not a head coach, and I think that's Josh McDaniels.
And he's shown that as a coordinator, right? And I think the issue with McDaniels those two times, it's been culture.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that the teams haven't played well on the field. So, agreed, it's going to take a lot for him to actually get that head coaching opportunity. And I think he'll be a lot smarter about which opportunities he actually takes moving forward.
Also, the Raiders gave McDaniels a 6-year extension.
Crazy.
And then fired him.
Yeah, he's still getting paid.
So, it flames out that badly. I just don't see a world where he gets another look as a head coach.
And the Ravens are the wild card to me, though, because that's a team that, of all the openings, they're closest to winning a Super Bowl. So what, what direction do they want to go? Like, and also you got to wonder, like, if the Bills lose today, do they make, like, how many times, and I said this about the Ravens a few weeks ago, how many times can you come up short
and keep doing it. And again, I think Sean McDermott's a good coach. I think John Harbaugh's a pretty good coach. But the last few years, the Ravens were not well coached. He tailed off. They kept coming up short. And they made a change. Like, do the Bills do something similar?
This is from totally the outside looking in with the Sean, as it pertains to Sean McDermott and the Bills. But I think anything less than an AFC championship trip, he could be on the cutting board here. Like, you have the best player in football, and you're kind of wasting away his prime here. You keep coming up short. And again, we know there's a talent deficiency on the outside, specifically at receiver. You got one of the best running backs, if not the – he won the rushing title, right, James Cook? Like, you have one of the best running backs. You have decent tight ends, but the receivers aren't necessarily where you want to be. And they tried to get Jalen Waddle at the deadline. What was it, a second and a third? They offered,
I know they were in disguise. I don't remember
the
exact offer.
And the price was pretty high, what they were offering. So they've tried to go out and do it. But if you continue to come up short, you saw Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP. They move on from John Harbaugh. I think the same thing can be said with Sean McDermott, if anything less than an AFC championship game, because you just can't waste away his prime like this.
Yeah, and I think it's like that's the opening that I could see. Like, maybe they'd want to consider McDaniels. I think Brian Flores would be nice.
What about Mike McDaniel?
I think Brian Flores.
I'm not
needs
a big believer
chance.
In Mike McDaniel.
They fought hard for him this year. I think
they did, but it's just, you ever notice how his teams almost always fade at the end of the year?
He had Tua as his quarterback,
and that's, but he believed
that should
it.
Be
he
why
was the guy.
Flores gets another
Flores
job.
Was
Flores
right
was
along.
Right the whole way. He lost his job for calling out Tua for being bad, and
he
was
right
absolutely right.
All
he should be given a GM role and a head coaching job now. That poor
and
guy.
Like, and then the Giants are an iconic franchise, and like, do you like Jackson
I'm
Dart?
Not interested in that job if I'm...
I don't.
They have
that.
A lot of talent, though, man. They almost won so many games, so you wonder if with the right coach, they're able to get that talent across the finish line. Right? Wasn't it like 7 one-score
That's
losses
division,
where they
though.
Had the lead?
And there is promise with Jackson Dart. Malik Nabers will come back. That front four
Scataboo.
On defense is really good.
I didn't know this. Like, Jones mentioned it this week. Malik Nabers is walking with a cane.
Still?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
Jones mentioned that. I had no clue he was even doing that. That does not sound good. But he's outstanding when he's on the field.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of these vacancies aren't really like – I think there are going to be postseason coaches that – is Matt LaFleur a potential now after blowing that lead last
time? Yeah, I'm
time?
Wondering
Another
if that news like
coming
breaks
up short.
It's not the first time.
And yeah, exactly. Like now, that's why Harbaugh – like he's not taking any interviews until next week, and that makes sense.
I'd wait if I were him.
I would absolutely wait.
Because the
you
Bills
the number
might
one
open.
Candidate.
Like what if the Packers – what if Cincinnati says, you know what? We like Harbaugh over
they
Zach Taylor.
They did stand by him, but that doesn't mean anything.
But they
We've
stood by him
before
Harbaugh got fired.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's why if I'm Harbaugh, I'm definitely waiting.
Yeah. Of course. And there's, well, look, already a quarter of the league is already open with head coaching vacancies.
That's crazy.
And there's probably going to be more.
Yeah.
Whether a wild card team that lost yesterday,
and who
this
knows?
Weekend,
like, and I'm not saying this will happen. But let's say Houston goes into Pittsburgh and beats the crap out of them tomorrow. Does Mike Tomlin say, you know what?
100%.
I don't think he would get fired, but does he go, you know what? I've had enough.
Did you see the report that he had the TV job lined up?
Yeah.
Now that could be left.
It's on the table.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, it's not Mike Tomlin's fault that they haven't been able to get a quarterback since Roethlisberger retired. So I don't blame him. I could just see him sitting there and being like, you know what? I'm not dealing with another new quarterback.
They're also the most predictable team ever. It's like, all right, you're going to barely finish over 500. Yep. And you're going to get smacked in the wild card. And if the Texans win, what's that, 3 straight years with a playoff win for D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud?
He's legit.
He is.
He's good. That team and that defense is balling, man. That's a scary defense. That is one thing, like when we were talking about a couple weeks ago, potential matchups for the Patriots, like people were kind of scared of the Texans because of the defense. And I don't think CJ Stroud gets enough credit either. He's been much better as of late. Yeah. He was not good at the beginning of the year, but he's really been a lot better. And he was great against the Chargers. And a lot of those were deep plays that were busted coverages, which kind of gets you excited about tonight, where, you know, we've been talking about how the Chargers do a good job of limiting the explosive plays. But against Houston, what, the first two touchdowns came from?
Yeah, I think they were
40 yards. Yeah. So you look at that, like they did have some busted coverages, and the Chargers limped into that a little bit. So,
all right. We have about a half hour left in the show. We're taking you up until 12:30. Top of the hour coming up next. We're going to dive into this Patriots-Chargers game, give you an in-depth preview here on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.